Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Before we go any further, I'm having a hell of a day, by the way. Coming in, still playing hurt. I just hit my cough button to actually speak on the air, which was fantastic.
He's basically just screaming at Nick. Before we go any further.
Should I do the Snagglepuss laugh? I can't because my voice would. But Jason Hebert, who is a loyal listener to the show, he brings up a point that I was going to bring up at the time, but I decided not to do it. But he's absolutely right. He says Dre's been gone for quite a while. It was, and he put numb, which is actually D-Hop or Nuke, that dropped the ball. Sheesh, you did say Dre. He threw that ball behind Dre.
Yeah, DeAndre. I call him Dre.
Oh, okay. So
DeAndre,
that's fair too.
Hello.
Yeah. So there you go. But by the way, Jason was looking to take a shot at you, and he put, it was a numb that dropped the ball. Sheesh.
Yeah, no, I know it's Nuke. I know.
Yeah, if you're going to.
DeAndre
Come on,
Hopkins.
Jason. If you're going to blast someone.
Don't be up here correcting me. By the way, we're getting several tweets and texts that asking that they had no idea that Tyrone Biggins got cut. yeah, it was weird though. You know, you steal some audio from the insiders and you never know what you're going to get. So,
You know what's crazy over the years too? And Keenan and I have had this conversation, but it's crazy how the whole Hard Knocks thing has taught coaching staffs and particularly head coaches sneaky techniques that hurt their own staff and players. And what I mean by that is because Hard Knocks wants to be organic. And they want to do things and don't want people to really know or think about the cameras. They use, obviously, like the little small security-type cameras. They hide them under bubbles in the ceiling, things like that. Well, I know in two different coaching staffs of systems that were put in place in which the head coach would say, I want you guys to be able to talk amongst yourselves to figure out what's going on with the team or what kind of new things we can put in. So I'm going to stay out of a meeting and you guys have a meeting instead.
What?
And so you're following me. So the head coach is out.
Right.
But all the other coaching staff get together in the boardroom, a conference room, whatever, and they start talking about whether there's issues with the players or talking about like breakdown, like for instance with the Texans. Okay, what are we going to do about the quarterback or what are we going to do about the offensive line? What are we going to do about special teams?
Right.
And then they kick it around.
Right.
Well, coming out of those meetings a couple times, in both instances with two separate teams, a guy that stood up and said, I really believe we need to do this and that this is a huge issue and that so-and-so player A is not being treated fairly. The very next day, or at the worst, within 2 days, the people that stood up to say that in a meeting that was supposedly to build communication amongst the coaching staff, not involving the head coach, and just be productive and proactive trying to solve problems, those two gentlemen were called into the head coach's office so that they could be questioned about why they thought so-and-so was bad. And so that it turns out in one of the instances, the director of security said to one of the guys who stood up, come with me, man. I got to show you something. And he's like, what do you mean? He goes, first of all, you didn't do anything wrong like that. We're not getting rid of you or anything like that. He goes, I just want to show you something. They go into a room that looks much like a television production room for live TV with all the screens around it. And he goes, you do realize that the head coach in his office sits in his chair and can watch and listen to everything that happens in all these rooms, including the room that you guys have your little meeting in. And he was like, I learned at that point, I will never say another word in one of those meetings because I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
So it's essentially like Hard Knocks meets I Spy Candid Camera. Head coaches in this league are the least trusting individuals in the world. The biggest, and obviously they like to play the blame game where they place it on everybody else but themselves and are so paranoid about their own jobs that they would do that with their own staff. You hire your own staff. If you hired these guys and you don't trust them, then what are you doing?
Yeah. No, it's a valid point, but I think that if you have an opportunity to get the honest opinion of your team, would you take that though? Because that's essentially what it is, right? Like if you want to get the pulse of your team without going to guys and them saying, well, yeah, we're fine, coach, we're good, because they're going to just be yes men to you.
Right.
Then you can do that. You can look around. Now, I don't know that you use it for the purpose that they're using it for by firing people or cutting them. But if I wanted to know what my team is honestly thinking and then use that, it's a good way to do it. It's kind of sneaky. It's kind of underhanded.
Yeah, I don't like it. But well, that's just me. I mean, I think that, look, if you hire a staff that you trust and believe in, then you should be able to have open dialogue throughout. Because if you're one of my guys...
That's just not how the world works, though. People are going to be fearful for losing their job if they tell you the truth.
You work with people that you didn't have a hand in hiring. That's my point. So, like, if you didn't... Even CEOs didn't hire the majority of their staff, their department heads, and maybe they took, depending on when they took the job, other people hired them. In the case of a head coach, you pick your entire staff. So if you're picking your coaching staff and picking the guys, even from like quality control guys, you get to pick who those people are. So the whole process
if you're picking yes men, then
it's
on you.
Right. So it's on them.
But I mean, some people will never feel comfortable about giving their honest opinion. So who knows? It is sneaky, though.
You never had that problem here.
It's dirty. No,
we're never going to hold back our honest opinion.
No,
why would we do that? Goodness gracious, there's no reason to do that. So we covered a little bit about the Texans. We started with college football. Some of you still want to talk about it. So, Bill, you've been holding quite a while. We want to get you in here. You want to double back on the college football playoffs? What's up?
I feel like it's pretty unlikely. And these customers are whack.
Hey, Bill.
We thought the customers were whack too, but without customers, you don't have a business. Let's put that on the side burner and let's get to what really matters. College football playoff.
Bill, hold on. Bill, who are you talking about?
I can't even say now.
You almost have to, Bill.
No, Bill. Now, listen, we don't know you. We just know your name is
heard
Bill.
His customers That's right. are whack.
Kind of whack.
Now, Bill, we heard you say, I don't know, man, these customers are whack. What are you talking about right now? What were you talking about just then?
I'll just say these customers have the most unreal expectations.
What kind of customers are they? Who are they? You don't have to like name specific people or even companies, but what field are you in?
I'm in home remodeling.
Home remodeling. So you're saying that homeowners are being unrealistic about what you can do as far as repairs go?
Actually, it's just as simple as painting, and they are... They're being, arguing every single minor thing, and I'm just like, oh my god!
They're being picky.
So,
but Bill, you can't cut corners. You have to paint them. They're part of the process.
That's exactly right. I like that. Picky's good. Picky's good. It's when they're unrealistic. That's when you go, okay, wait a minute.
Here's what you do, Bill. You go
to
their
house.
I can't
paint a cedar board and make it look like glass.
That's true.
It's not going
to
happen.
That's true. But here's what you do to get them back. You go to their house. And you just drop a bomb, drop a horrible deuce in their restroom right before you leave. And that will pay them back. And then you might even, I don't know, pee on their car.
Somehow that would turn into some kind of environmental
lawsuit. At least Barry's keeping it sanitary today.
You know.
Yeah, I got you.
Myself in.
Bill, here's the thing. Your new marketing slogan should be, we can't turn your log cabin into the Taj Mahal, but we can help in small ways.
No, your new marketing slogan should be, customers are whack. You'll get a ton of business that way. All right, Bill. What'd you have, man?
Well, the only thing I wanted to point out, and I'm a sports enthusiast. I listen to everything, radio, TV. And everybody's talking about the 14 playoff being expanded. And I'm just questioning the fact that the only reason we put it in place in the first place was so we could try to make sure we at least got the top two teams in there and gave them a chance to get to the championship. Why do we care who's really a fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth? As long as we know we're getting the top two, isn't that all that really matters?
But here's the thing. Yeah, but that is kind of subjective, though, right?
Right.
Like, if you have 6 1-loss teams, can you really say, or 5 1-loss teams in certain instances in the last 3 years, if you had 5 1-loss teams and 1 undefeated team, we know that the undefeated team, obviously, in this case, Alabama, we know what they are. But can you really say amongst those 1-loss teams who the best is and who isn't? Who's the top three and who's not?
I'm willing to bet that out of the top 20 teams, we can narrow down the top two by bringing it to 4.
I think
the odds are pretty good.
See, Bill, here's the thing. I'll say it to Barry's point, but I'll say it differently in terms of my perspective, which is you just want to make sure that everybody that deserved a fair shot got it. So, therefore, with 2 or 4, there's still a few teams, in this case Penn State, that's on the outside looking in and maybe deserves – it has an argument to say they deserved at least a shot. You would avoid and eliminate that kind of confusion – and muckiness in the process if you made sure that you expanded it to the point where you don't have teams like that on the outside. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. My only fear is when you've got that many teams getting looked at, a prime example is I've heard everybody talking about USC and how they're coming on strong and everything else. And my point is, when did the season not matter anymore and all we care about is how are they looking at the end of the year? Because on that basis, Oklahoma should deserve a chance, and those guys definitely don't deserve to be in the top four. But based on their you know, I mean, they've got the best record since the first two games out of almost everybody in the deal. Because they lost their first two games, and then after that, they sweat.
Bill, we appreciate the call, man. As always, the system, as we've mentioned, is flawed. And unfortunately, you get punished more for a late season loss than you do early in the year when you can rebound from it. There is no rebounding, and especially in the case of a lot of teams that don't end up making their conference championship after having a really good campaign, those late season losses can really hurt. And then again, sometimes they can't. That's why the season's flawed, because Ohio State suffered a loss, didn't make the conference championship game, and yet they're in, and Penn State's out. So that's all we're saying is whether you go to 6, whether you go to 8, let's try and do the best system possible that eliminates anybody, any fudging of who may be in and deserves to be in that isn't, and get everyone that has at least a fighter's chance of being included to at least have a shot at it so that you do have somewhat of an underdog. Not March Madness per se, but you make sure that everybody that deserves a fighting chance gets one.
Somebody texting in, Bill has to be a male dancer, which would put a whole lot of logic behind these customers have unreal expectations.
I think Bill's your tiny dancer. A dancer for money.
Okay. I get it now.
Okay.
It took a second.
Thank you. We're rolling along, and we know that one of our mainstays is on hold. Depending on how long we want to make him hold, we know he only wants to talk about one thing and one thing
only. The people
only
are clamoring for it, yeah. So we can do it next.
Our man Kurt Lowe is on hold, and he has more than a few opinions. If you follow him on Twitter, you're entertained, and I like to call him out on his mistakes. But at the same time, if you want a very entertaining follow Kurt Lowe on Twitter. I'll let him pump it for you after this. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, so we're back. And your Rockets got another win last night, 14-7. 14 of the first 20 games of the regular season were on the road. If that wasn't impressive enough to come out 13-7, the first game out of a road trip is always the toughest game because the legs are still tired. You're still feeling like you're on the road. You're still getting acclimated to your own bed and doing laundry and things. Tough game last night. By the way, Al Horford misses a layup.
Boy, I was about to say, they should have lost that game.
Yeah, and they had every ample opportunity to lose that game. But unlike the Oklahoma City game, unlike games earlier in the season, they found a way to persevere just enough to win the ball game.
You say persevere, I say got lucky.
And I'm not afraid. And normally, you know me. Yeah. I'm normally the one ready to do that. But look, I can't take anything away from a team that had that heavily weighted road schedule early in the season and found a way to come out of it above 500, let alone now 14-7 and doubling up their losses. I think it's a great start to the season for a system that is absolutely fit to a T for James Harden. But I think he's got to have help. And I think you saw last night, especially in the second half, if he falters at all, if he's not having one of those nights completely, or if they decide late in the game like they did last night to try and take it out of his hands, other guys have to step up. And they're just not doing it on a consistent basis. I don't know where this team, and I tweeted it last night, if you don't have Eric Gordon this year,
ooh,
I don't know where you are. Because as good as James Harden is, I'm not sure your record sniffs where you are without Eric Gordon. Because let's be honest, for the amount of money that they spent on Ryan Anderson, he's been mediocre at best.
Very streaky.
Yeah.
Very
last
streaky.
Last night was 0 for, you know, from deep, and that's his thing. doesn't give you a whole lot else across the board. So you have to have that from him. On nights when he's good, they can be special for a night, like in Golden State in the double overtime when Gordon and Anderson were huge. But overall, you need consistency from him. And, you know, just kind of hit and miss opportunities for him to step up and look big is not going to do it for a $20 million man that supposedly is the perfect fit for you to have a stretch for. So with that being said, we're going to bring in, Nick, the epitome of what it's like to take that red sugary drink and overdose on it. The man...
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The man that drank more Kool-Aid than most, and it's definitely red. Kurt Lowe, welcome to the show. Before we get going, I just want to say I'm glad you're on the mend. My thoughts and prayers were with you. I'm glad you're getting healthy again. And I'm still not going to stop taking shots at you whenever you tweet something that you shouldn't have tweeted. At the same time, welcome to the show, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate all your prayers, too, man. It really helped because, you know what I mean?
Yep.
3 weeks out of, in the hospital, man, it gets depressing down there. So I appreciate all
that
you guys.
Sucks.
A lot of people that stopped by and see me.
Appreciate you being back on the show, brother. I know you were listening. So what's on your mind with your favorite team?
Oh, man, I got a bunch of things. Yesterday, that last play, I gotta point this out because it really pissed me off to see this. And nobody's seen it. What's the guy's name? Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
He pulled Montrezl Harrell down with his arm, by one arm.
Wait, who did he pull?
He pulled Montrezl Harrell on that play on his arm. You saw Montrezl Harrell. That's how that guy got open and went to the lane because Montrezl Harrell was on the ground because Isaiah Thomas pulled him down. And then when, what's his name? Horford was going up for the layup. He actually, Marcus Smart went flying like somebody shot him in the leg. I was like, what the hell is going on here? You know what I mean? They did all kinds of stuff to try to cheat the win, and thanks to God for them to get in that L yesterday because they deserved it. You know what I mean? Boston, keep it classy, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't cheat the win.
So keep it classy also goes with the elbow flagrant one that Harden got for drilling Marcus Smart in the mouth. Is that classy? I'm just asking now because you're very one-sided. So
he was just making room.
It's a love tap.
Yeah. Him, man.
Just clears him.
A love tap that required a dentist. Okay, so what's your next point?
Well, I wanted to say with the Demo thing, I want Rocket fans to understand this, man, because they are so in love with Demo. I mean, I love his personality. I love everything what he contributed. Understand, this is not Demo from 2 years ago, okay? You're taking away players from, you know, when Demo comes into the Rockets, if he does, he's going to take away minutes from Decker, and he's also going to take minutes away from Harrell. Those guys are big role players right now. What's going on?
Then where does Montrezl Harrell fit into all this?
Exactly. Where does he fit in? He doesn't fit in at all.
Oh, I thought he was different than this guy. You're referencing this Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell, right? Am I saying in my name?
No, you're saying it wrong. That's Joel's way of telling you you're saying it wrong.
Harrell, brother. Montrezl Harrell. Okay?
Harrell.
Or I asked, now, Kurt Lowe, I asked the question last night on Twitter, and I said, if Demo comes back, who loses minutes? Now, the majority of the people said they thought and hoped that it would be Corey Brewer because he's been awful, and the fact that they did not want Decker or Montrez to lose any significant minutes in the rotation because, look, both those guys proved they belong. And I saw your tweet earlier today. Sam Decker, and we talked to Mikhail about it last week. Sam Decker found the missing element in his offensive game from the time he left college, which is the three ball, and he's been shooting it very well. But more so than anything else, he's gotten back to what he's done well, which is all the little things, the rebounding, the offensive rebounding, the running the floor, the finishing on the break, the defending. I love everything that he and you and I talked about before he even got his first opportunity. Montrezl Harrell is a guy that fits the D'Antoni system to a T because he's an athletic big who can run the floor on one end, block shots on the other, and finishes well around the rim. So I think that if there's an odd man out, I think they're going to do two things. I think Corey Brewer starts getting phased out a little bit, just like we saw the fact that KJ McDaniel's already not getting any more minutes. And then I think the other thing is Decker's going to see some time at the three as well as the four because he's proven that he deserves it as long as he shoots the three ball well. But the bottom line that I kept telling you about, they have no low post scoring. They have no one to dump the ball down in the post and get a bucket. Demo would at least give you that. So that's why I think Demo is important to the Rockets team, though I understand what you're saying about someone losing some minutes so that he gains them. I think you still add a player of his caliber offensively, and it's still more of a help than a detriment. So I hope
Let me put it to you like this. Demo is a great post player, right?
Yep.
But we're talking about from 2 years ago. This is the same guy that just had a back surgery that shot 43% from the field and 28% from three last year, okay? This guy's not the same player. That's what I'm trying to explain to people. And Demo has never been the greatest at shooting threes, okay? And now, like you said, Decker is shooting well from the three-point. That was one of his default faults coming out of college. He was never consistent with the three-pointer. Demo's going to get in the lane. He's going to post up. Posting up in the NBA is gone nowadays. People don't even want it on their team anymore. You know what I mean? It's an invaluable thing now.
And all right, Kurt Lowe. Everybody wants everybody has to have at least one low post scorer in the postseason. I'm just letting you know, because it slows down and becomes a half court game, as much as you don't want to admit it, in the postseason. So I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say, look, Demo's a decent 3-point shooter, but at the same time, he's at least a taller, longer body to guard people in the post that Sam Decker has trouble doing. So there's a place for Demo. He's a talented guy, and we'll get to more of that when we get to the entire Demo situation, because it's kind of crazy. But we appreciate the call as always, Kurt Lowe. Keep getting healthy, keep listening to the show. We appreciate it. So we touched a little bit on the Rockets. If you want to talk Rockets, we can do that. 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're there and consistently checking Twitter as well as responding to tweets. We love hearing from you guys. Text messages, Barry will check the text periodically as well to get you guys involved in the show. But we appreciate you listening. We'll be back with a lot more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, we were waiting to hear from Demo, and I don't know if he's in transit or he's just in hiding, because...
You know, you should get him to call.
Oh, I've tried, and he said won't. He would once he gets the deal done.
Oh,
we might even get him to join us weekly, and he's a funny guy. But this is not a funny situation, and I'll be honest with you guys. I've stayed in communications with Demo, and we built a good relationship when I was with the Rockets. He's a great dude. And I can't emphasize enough how badly his feelings were hurt last year when he was told he wasn't going to be traded and then was traded to the Pistons. And then, to make matters worse, after saying goodbye on the road, which is the worst time to get traded, when you're on the road in the middle of a road trip and you got to say to your teammates and the broadcasters and all the people tight with you, hey, man, I'm out. This sucks. That, you know, that people are crying. And then a couple days later...
People were crying?
Oh, yeah.
In sports?
Oh, yeah. And then a couple days later, you don't pass your physical, and you got to come back. And Robert Horry did this with Matt Bullard back in the day with the Pistons. Ironically, same team, different scenario with different players, but then Demo has to come back. And he had said to me on several occasions, the most difficult thing he's ever had to deal with, never thought he'd have to deal with it, and he felt betrayed. And you can't blame a guy for that. But again, because it's professional sports and it's money and everybody's getting paid to play, look, just suck it up. Everybody says just suck it up and do what you need to do to get your check. Well, he did that. But at the end of this, when he became a restricted free agent, he pretty much figured his days in Houston were done. Mike D'Antoni reached out. They had a dinner. He tried to kind of mend some fences and say, look, it's me. I'm new. But you fit perfectly in our system. We'd love to have you.
Dennis, do you think he fits perfect into the system?
I really don't.
I don't either.
Now, I don't think...
And I might be the exception to the rule around here, but I feel like Demo is the square peg in the round hole that is the Rockets' fast break, run and gun. Yes, he's a stretch four, but you already have one of those.
Yeah, and I wouldn't go so far as to say square peg, round hole, but I would say to your point, the last thing Demo's going to be is the athletic get-up-and-down kind of guy. Right, especially if you're a low post guy,
he's slow.
You're not
as hell.
Catching it on the wing to go finish. You're getting the ball in the low block to get a two when you need it at a certain point in the game, right? Or if you have a mismatch. But I agree with you. I don't think he's the perfect fit. I know that D'Antoni loves Euro players, and that from that standpoint, D'Antoni was familiar enough with him and his game that he felt like he would be a valuable addition to the team. But I know that the Rockets were trying to play the media game. I know that they were constantly trying to feed people rumors out there and say that they had made offers to Demo that he had said, look, my agent and I have never heard any of this. But at the same time, teams, what they like to do is they like to try and wait till the market dries up and then figure out how they can get a bargain, because they already had the right for first refusal. But at the same time, if no team has a lot of money left, then we get a player that we drafted. We know he's talented. We get him at a good price for several years. And we can utilize him and keep him below the cap, stay below the cap, all those things. I think he fully expected that the Nets offer was not going to be matched. Because it was, it put them in a corner. You can either come out swinging or you can just go sign your money and do what you got to do to fit in with your team. He came out swinging. He hasn't shown up. He's avoiding the physical. Barry, you found it, and I don't know if you can find it again, but B.J. Armstrong, the ex-Chicago Bull, Iowa Hawkeye, is his agent. And basically, he came out with a couple of quotes that in essence said, you know, the Rockets did what they felt like they had to do. We still have options, and we're going to do what we're going to do.
Yeah, here, it's we have our rights, Armstrong said. We're not going to show up. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the Rockets do. We have our rights. Asked what Monayunas hopes the Rockets choose, Armstrong said, we'll see. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious and clear-cut without coming out and saying it that he would like any other option than to come back to Houston and play. Not that he doesn't love the city of Houston. He's been adamant about saying, I love Houston. I love the fans. I love the people in the city that have reached out to me. But he's not a big fan of the people in the organization and the way he's been treated. So he's going to wait it out, and I'm still waiting for a response to the last text just to see exactly what's going on. If I can get more information for you, I will. But at the same time, look, he's been professional. But at the same time, if you're willing to not sign and come in for a deal that's going to pay you on average of $8 or $9 million a year, guaranteed for the next two at least, and four, if he exceeds the lifetime of the contract, it can pay you $30-some million. That tells you just how unhappy he is. So it's going to be interesting how the scenario plays out. But for that, that's the best I can give you in terms of a guy who's looking to play, but I think he's looking to play anywhere other than here in Houston. Before we get to our next break, I want to tell you guys about a can't-lose opportunity, and that's Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy is a locally owned and operated company by a good man named Josh Pesikoff, who runs an energy company for both your business and your residential that makes sure that you get a plan tailor-made for you. If you're a business and you're open Monday through Friday and you're going 8 to 5, 9 to 5, but at night and on weekends you're not using them as much energy, they'll tailor the plan that way. If you're a home and you're not home during the day and at night you and your family like to use the internet, like to run a lot of hot water, like to do a lot of things that you see on television commercials, well, guess what? They'll make a plan that's heavily weighted to make sure that your needs are taken care of when you're in the house, and they take it easy when you're not. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and you choose a green plan. That offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that helps decrease your carbon footprint. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back is the way they like to provide their service. Their marketing campaign is not just that. It's a way of life. You call, you get an operator and a human being that's going to make sure they address your problems. Never do you get the automated system. Never do you deal with frustrating pressing of keys and trying to get a human being. You're always going to get a human being, and that human being is going to be sincerely focused on making sure that they take care of whatever problems, they rectify whatever issues, and they get you the best plan that is the best fit for you and your family and your business. Please give me a five-minute conversation with Infuse Energy. Take my word for it. Check them out. I don't think you'll ever be disappointed. It's InfuseEnergy.com or 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. They will make sure that they take care of you and give you the best energy at the best price every time.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, Nick, till 4 o'clock. The gang's all here, and we've had good spirited discussion about a lot of different topics. And sometimes it's not all about sports. And other times...
No?
It is. Well, you've got some things on your mind. And look, we mentioned yesterday that our dear sweet intern, Yuli, decided to go on Twitter and express the fact to all of our listeners that she just wasn't having a good day and that she was extremely sad, to which the next commercial break I went out to make sure she was okay and got her to laugh and smile a little bit, but she just kind of didn't want to allude to all the problems. She mentioned it was girl problems, then I was really worried because I don't really want to dabble in that. And then, because it's none of my business. But then you've kind of uncovered new information.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. So that, you know, as Barry normally does, he definitely gets to he bores down in the bottom.
Yeah.
To get to the bottom of things. So he was able to more than uncover exactly what was going on with Yuli. So with that, Bear, I guess I'll turn it over to you to kind of fill in some of the details. But we did have a caller yesterday that I didn't realize was sarcastic at the time that said, God, the person that answers your phone is just so sweet and so friendly. She was so great. And then I found out they were being sarcastic because she was not hiding it well.
She was being
when doing her job. Yuli doing her job was a little bit of a having the dauber down.
So she was being nasty to the callers?
No, she was just being genuinely kind of saddened down, right?
I was talking like this, and usually when I answer it, I guess I'm like...
Give us your happy answer, the phone voice. Do like, ring, ring.
Like, hi, ESPN 97.5, and I'm like, what do you guys want to talk about today?
Okay,
like,
see, that's exciting. Know. And now today, how are you answering it?
I'm just like... Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, that sucks. Now,
I mean, I don't mean it in a bad way.
You're basically explaining the fact that you're not really helping us out too much.
What do you mean? I try to be nice.
You're working for us to get the callers on the show, and you're basically like, hey, what do you want to talk about?
No, because I'm polite. I'm just not cheery.
You're right. Why aren't you cheery? Tell us what happened.
Nick, what kind of music you got for this?
Tell us why you are not in a good mood, Yuli.
Well, your girl's going through her first breakup.
So how old are you?
First one?
Yeah, I don't date.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 18.
So you're 18.
Yes.
And you're going through your first breakup now. Now, how do you, when we talked before the show, you said you didn't date a lot. First real boyfriend?
Yes, because I was always, like, I'm very focused on my school.
A college student.
Yes.
And this is your first boyfriend.
Yes.
Now, how long were you guys together?
So, basically, I moved here to Houston my senior year.
Okay.
And I met him my senior year, and I was, like, chasing after him, basically. And
there's your first problem.
No, he kept rejecting me.
There's your second problem.
No. Now, that speaks to the fact that proves the point that females like a guy that plays hard to get. Like, if dudes just roll over... You would have been just like, you guys would have already, but
you're missing the point. She's chasing him. He should be chasing her.
I know, but the fact that he played hard to get for a year.
No, he didn't even play hard to get. He was chasing a different girl.
Again, that's my problem.
Okay, listen, I'm very prideful. I will tell you guys that
Not prideful if you keep chasing.
Okay, I didn't really chase him. Like, he knew I liked him. Like, we were good friends. In the beginning, I didn't even know he sat behind me in class. Like, let's be real. You know what I mean? But I eventually started getting to know him. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, looks don't attract me. Like, I don't care if you're hot as hell. Like, that doesn't attract me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Like, I think she just said I was hot as hell. No, I'm pretty sure she just said that. We have it on tape. We have it on audio.
I think what she said, Barry, was that you were wide boned. No, but guess very, who just, very, but some great personality.
Guess who just got a new ringtone? Daddy did.
No, because people are always like, why are you even sad over him? Like, you know what I mean?
Hold on. Let me get to the, we gotta ease into this. Don't just give, you don't give away all the cookies right away now. You gotta ease into it here. This is way too,
this is too empowering, man.
This is too empowering.
You gotta empower her.
We need a breakup song. Okay, well, hold on. What song do you hear on the radio that makes you sad right now? What's the saddest song?
This could be really bad.
Oh, my God. I Love You, I Hate You.
Okay, play
that
one.
Have you heard that song?
Play that one, Nick. Fine, I Love
Dude,
You, I Hate
that
You.
That one kills me.
Okay, because, like, I mean, I don't want to make you cry.
I was thinking more along the lines of anything for you.
I don't want to make you cry on air.
Gloria,
I don't cry. It's like, bonus if you do. It's very hard for me to cry.
No. It's a bonus if you do cry.
Because you're never emotional, ever.
Well, when you have a family like I did, you get what I'm
saying? Now, we're going to get to that in a second.
We're not going all
the way. No, I know, no.
Yeah, we are. We are, totally. Now, tell me about this guy. Now, how long were you guys together? Because you never answered that.
So, we, like, officially started...
No, short answer.
Yeah, okay, well, like, 3 months, 2 months.
Oh,
okay, now, so you're heartbroken after a...
Compared to the people I've, like, been with, yes.
Ignore him.
Well, you said this was your first day.
Yeah.
First relationship, okay.
It was, like, first relationship.
Now, you were together for 2 to 3 months?
Yes.
And you've already broken up?
Yes.
Would you say you were in love?
Yes, because... So, obviously, I liked him for a while. And then I basically liked who he was. So, it just made me like everything.
Okay,
you see what I'm saying?
Why did you guys break up? What was the reason?
Saying. Basically, we had our problems and differences. But
what
were
they?
Like,
I don't need that. I need to know what was
the
problem.
Well, obviously, he had that other girl in the picture.
So, he had another hoe.
Yes, basically.
He had a side piece.
And I made her.
Was she a five or a dime? Was she hot?
Listen, I'm not a hater, but.
Was she hot?
No.
She's not hot? She's not as hot as you?
Notice how quiet she got.
Yeah, she's not as hot as you? Y'all can, like, what see her.
Do you have a picture of her?
No, we're not.
Pull up a picture of her. No, I want to pull up a picture of her. I want to see how hot she is.
Okay, so.
I'll tweet it out. She can send me a picture of the chick. I'll tweet it out for the listeners. This is a 4D experience when you listen to this show.
I love the fact while we're doing this that Clarence, one of our main men that's a loyal listener to the show, just sent me a tweet that said, "Who hurt our poor intern? And where he live, big brother mode right now.
Oh, my God. You guys are awesome here.
Look, we care. We cover for you. Barry just wants more details than America needs. Because some of the stuff you need to keep private.
I am going to be 1,000% honest.
She's cute.
No, not you.
You're way hotter than she is.
No, I know that.
No, you are. Oh, wait. Hold on now. Hold on a damn minute. You can't know that. Look, you tell me. She's definitely, Yuli, you're definitely hotter than this chick.
Dang.
By far.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She looks like a librarian. Like, she does. Yeah. She looks like she would get mad at you if you didn't bring all your books back on time. Yeah, she does. No, she totally looks like a librarian.
She looks like a figure skater that didn't get like a lunch finals.
She looks like a barista that got fired. That's what she looks like.
Okay, that was better.
Well, like, so basically, like, that was, like, obviously, like, I had my insecurities because of that. Not because, like, I thought she was better.
You're jumping way ahead. What does he look like? Give me a picture of him next, all right?
I blocked him off of everything.
By the way, in that sentence for a communication major.
I'm sorry for me.
Like,
oh, I know. I say that a lot. No, I really do, and I try to work on that personally. Not going to lie.
Why are you breaking her down? She's upset. We can
tell her that off air. We're on her side, Barry, but you're, like, going for, like, this long-term
explanation. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. Okay, so he broke your heart after 2 to 3 months. Now, this was your first relationship, all right?
Yes.
Now, when we were talking about this off air, you said you weren't really, like, you're not a crier.
I'm not.
Now, and you said because your family abandoned you for 7 months?
Basically.
This stuff I'm not sure she wants to express
on the air. I moved out. No, I'm fine.
Yeah, she does.
I moved out when I was 15. I moved out at a very young age.
Is he the black dude or the Mexican?
No, that's Sauce Waga. He's the one next to him. He's a producer. Yeah.
A producer of what?
Do you know? Like,
Bad Beards?
No. You know Diplo? Have you heard of Diplo? Basically like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's like that.
Okay.
So,
he did you a favor by breaking up with you. He definitely did you a favor.
No, I know.
No, you're going to be fine. Yuli, you can do much better than that. I'm telling you, I bet we have a ton of really handsome, respectful listeners that would be glad to take you out on a date versus that dude.
No, I understand. Like, I mean, like, honestly, I always said that if I didn't date in high school, I was not going to date in college.
First of all, you're selling. Don't. Deprive yourself.
No, I'm not saying I won't go on dates, but like my success and my future is what means everything to me.
Good for you.
Like being an immigrant child, not anymore, by the way, for those of you like who are
but you don't need.
But
are you scared of Trump?
Oh no.
Okay.
No, no. I met Trump.
Okay. Oh, you met him?
Yes, I did.
She is a name dropper, though. Don't worry about that.
Wow.
So basically, I feel like I owed a lot to my mom.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean? As a single mother, now she's not single anymore, but. Basically, I went to her for the future and stuff and all that. And stuff and all that.
You're not giving us anything. Now, listen. Well, like, here's the deal. We have to get you back in the saddle because you are moping and you're really depressed over a 2 to 3 month relationship. You know you have a ton of heartbreak coming your way, right?
No,
like,
I
this
know.
Is just scratching the surface. So try to find a guy that doesn't, like, you need someone more shallow is what you need. You need a shallow dude.
Why
a shallow dude?
No, like,
yeah, you need a shallow
I'm the type
dude.
Of person, like, is
you
it
guys
just
realize
me?
I'm out of this one.
No, like, is it just you're married, right? Like,
yeah. I'm
is
married
it
too,
in a relationship?
Barry doesn't look like
no, because
married,
you're,
right?
you're not even paying attention. Like,
I am paying attention. Why would a hot guy
when you're in
too
a
long with
no,
all this.
When you're in a relationship, that person's supposed to be your rock, your go-to person,
best
your
friend.
Best friend, right?
Sweet. Not after 2 months.
When I told him that, I wanted him to be my rock because right now, like, I was going through a lot with my health and like family issues again because my family's trying to get in my life and all that stuff. Blah blah.
Easy.
So basically, yeah. He told me, I don't need a rock. I've never had a rock. Like, I don't, like,
so that means you're
stuff.
Not getting See? Married. And See? That means that he likes pebbles.
No, so, and then when I told him, I was like, I'm trying to fight for you. Like, I'm trying to, like, make this work. And he goes, that's what I don't get. You're fighting for someone who doesn't even want anything to do with you.
At that
dude,
point, if
to
he
my
hit
face.
You before,
no.
Damn, he told you that to your face.
To my
so
last
hard.
Night, last
like,
night,
like you guys were literally face.
Literally,
to face?
Like he was dropping off my stuff. I was giving it to him.
Well, I'm sure that this is a perfect song. Good job, Nick.
I can't.
I am sure things will get better. You have nothing to worry about. Plus, you're only 18. I know that's mean to say. You got your whole life ahead of you.
No,
you
know
will go,
I do.
You'll go through many more. Just, I'm telling you, get a shallow guy. They don't care about anything but looks. And if you look good, that's all they care
no,
about.
No, I don't
that,
like
it
that.
Works.
No, I don't
it
like
works,
that.
It works, I'm telling you.
People who always look at me for my looks, I will never respond to you.
Good for you.
I don't like that.
So
if you
people
don't like
are
me,
already asking what you look like.
I said J-Lo
else.
And Money Train.
So if you want, if I said I'm going to leave it up to train. You because Dak is going crazy with me.
Yeah.
If you feel comfortable doing it, then mm-hmm. send Barry and I a tweet, put include us, and
yes.
then put include you, and then
no, I want here's what I want. I want oh, the guy in the middle, and then I want you and the other chick on each side, and we'll tweet
no,
that out.
I'm
yeah,
not
yeah.
posting
that'll
a
be
picture.
A great no,
she
why?
Doesn't deserve for people to look at her.
Well, we can blur out her body or something. All right, we gotta go to break. Thank you, Yuli. Okay. You'll get better, I promise.
Thank you guys.
This segment of Dr. Phil has been brought to you by ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.